Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Luke. And so glad that you joined us. In fact, it's a special day for me because my son Josh is with us today. Enjoyed having Nathaniel on the podcast last week. And Josh serves as a student pastor in Topeka, Kansas. Josh, I never thought growing up that you would end up in Topeka, Kansas.
I did not think I'd be there either, but I've been loving it. It's been good.
Yeah, it's a great church. And you learn things in Bible college, but there's just something about being in the ministry that and the hands-on that you learn better, don't you?
You do. You do.
So Josh and his wife, Rachel, have been married for 3 years, just celebrated an anniversary here recently. And serving God there in Topeka. So I have one son in Florida, one son in Kansas, one son here in Virginia, and then, of course, our daughter Hannah here with us as well. And I hope you and your family are doing well. Hope you survived the holidays, and I appreciate you joining us today. We're in Luke chapter 3, and we're in a section. I was teasing with you, Josh, before the podcast that You get the section that has all the unpronounceable names.
I appreciate that.
So we're in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 30. Let me turn my page here. 38. And what we have in Luke 3 is the genealogy, the list of ancestors is what a genealogy is, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are two times in the Gospels that you find genealogies of Jesus. One is in Matthew and one is in Luke. You don't have one in Mark, which is interesting because the Gospel of Mark paints the portrait of Jesus as a servant. And it's not important to demonstrate a servant's genealogy. And then the book of John, specifically, John tells us the purpose for the writing of the book of John was to demonstrate the deity of Jesus. And then because he is God, that we ought to believe on him and have life in his name. So it's an evangelistic book is really what it is. And in John, there's no genealogy, but there's something almost better than a genealogy because the beginning of John starts with, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So it starts in eternity past, which is really cool. But in Matthew, a gospel written to the Jews to demonstrate that Jesus is the King of the Jews, we have a genealogy that goes through Jesus' foster father, Joseph, all the way back to Abraham, the father of the Jews. And that's a genealogy that is the kingly line through Joseph. But in Luke, we have something totally different. In Luke, we have a genealogy that goes all the way back to Adam. So Jesus, his genealogical record all the way back to the first man, and it's a genealogy that goes through his mother, Mary. So you might say the legal genealogy is Matthew, which shows his prerogative to the kingship of David, the throne of David. But then in Luke 3, we have the human genealogy showing that while Jesus certainly is Messiah, certainly is the Son of God and God in the flesh, he is in the flesh. He is all man as well. So it's the human genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam.
And contextually, it's interesting because we'll get into this tomorrow. Going into chapter 4, we deal with the physical temptation of Jesus.
Right. So we see the genealogy that demonstrates his humanness, but then he's tempted like we are. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews said, tempted in all points like as we are. So understanding and feeling the temptations that you and I feel.
And a question I viewed coming into this is the placement of the genealogy. In Matthew, writing to the Jewish audience, he puts Christ's credentials, his genealogy, first. Is there any reason Luke puts his genealogy after the birth story, after Luke 2?
Yeah, I'd never really considered that, except that what Luke chapter 3 introduces is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. So in Luke chapter 3, Jesus is 30 years of age. He's beginning his ministry. And it's almost as if Luke, who's now writing this case for Christ to Theophilus and to all thoughtful skeptics, you know, who is Jesus? Can we really believe on him? I think establishing his credentials as the rabbi that he is, beginning ministry at age 30. That'd be my guess. Do you have a thought on that?
I don't have a thought other than that, like you said, it's the credentials. Just as you would go to apply for a job, or you would go to state your case for something, people will list off what they've done, where they came from.
Yeah, here's their resume. Here's their work experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, one thing we do know is that teachers of the day, Jewish teachers, were very keen upon providing their credentials. Matter of fact, Paul referenced that to Timothy, endless genealogies. They were always trying to establish, hey, I was taught by so-and-so who was taught by so-and-so. I'm the son of, the grandson of, and almost overemphasizing pedigree. Remember, John the Baptist had said, hey, say not, we're Abraham's seed, as if just because of how you were born makes you right with God. So the schools of Hillel and the schools of Shammai, the popular schools of that day, would make a big deal about teaching authority or genealogy. And it's almost as if to say, here's Jesus beginning as any priest would begin at age 30, any Levite would begin at age 30. He's beginning his ministry. It's almost as if it would be natural at this point to establish his credentials. And I think Luke is inserting them here to say, this, the Son of God, is also the Son of Man by providing the human genealogy.
And we see the credentials are fill out for God's case. But Jesus and his apostles will get into a lot of trouble by these Pharisees that have gone to these prestigious religious schools, and they'll be upset, and that'll be a point of conflict with Jesus and his apostles. You'll see it through the Gospels. It goes to Acts, where the Pharisees and the religious leaders try to argue from a point of authority. And they view, hey, I got my seminary degree from this school, and you didn't get your degree. And what we see is that God's power rests on Christ. God's power rests on the apostles. And God's power didn't rest on the Pharisees.
Right.
So I think that's an application for us. Hey, you may be a student of the Bible. You may teach a class. You may lead a small group. And you may feel inadequate. You may feel, hey, I don't have the credentials of other people. I don't have my master's in divinity. But I think the most important thing, are you a student of God's word? Are you filled with God's spirit? And we see that throughout the Gospels.
That's a really good point. I mean, even toward the end of Jesus' ministry, where they argued at the Feast of the Tabernacles, I think it's John 8, where they said, boy, how can he understand the scripture as he does? He doesn't have letters. And that would just be a reference to, hey, he doesn't even have a college degree. Remember what the common people said about Jesus is they loved to hear him speak because he spoke as one that had authority. So
yes.
Isn't it interesting that the common people viewed his messages as authoritative, and the religious people didn't have that kind of authority, even though they had the credentials? So authority doesn't come by man's approval or man's credentials. The authority comes from the word of God, and as you said, the filling of the Spirit of God.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's in Acts 4 where they accuse John and Peter as they're not learned men.
Unlearned and ignorant men.
Ignorant,
right?
Yes.
but they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Their authority was in that relationship. Now, I love that. So in Luke chapter 3, in verse 23, the Bible says, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, and I love the parenthetical, if you're following along in your own Bible, the parenthetical, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, the son of Matat, and all the way back to David, all the way back to Abraham, all the way back to Adam. So a lengthy genealogy for the next 16 verses we'll find. It starts with Joseph. It works its way all the way back to Adam, but it's really not following the line of Joseph, because Joseph, then the son of Heli, that was actually Mary's dad. So the only reason why the man's name is supplied is because a genealogy typically would only include men's names. So what we find in Luke is the genealogy of Jesus humanly. In Matthew, again, I said this before, the genealogy of Jesus legally. And it isn't interesting, in the legal genealogy in Matthew, there are four women that are mentioned, which would be totally unheard of, but it's the legal genealogy of Jesus Christ.
It just shows that Jesus, his ancestry, where he's come from, he came to save the whole world, right? And I think that's important that he includes women in the genealogy.
And that's the point I wanted to make. So you beat me to it. And that is, in the letter that Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, we find Jesus the King of the Jews. We know that he came unto his own. We know that he's a Jewish Messiah. We know that he's the fulfillment of Abraham's seed. We know all of that, the son of David. And we see that carefully outlined for us in the book of Matthew. But in Luke, we find him going back to Adam. So not only is he the Jewish Messiah, he's the son of man. He's the representative of the entire world. He came to do what Adam failed to do. He's the last Adam, the second Adam, right? He represents every human being who has ever lived.
Yeah, just as Paul explains in his letter to the Romans, Adam's imputed sin that we all inherit, that sin nature, well, we have imputed righteousness through Christ.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then the Bible says, through the disobedience of one, you know, we all fell under the curse. We're born into sin, but through the obedience of one, well, we could all be made righteous. The available salvation through Jesus Christ as the one that completed what Adam failed. It's a great thought.
And really, in these genealogies, you see the gospel.
You see the gospel.
You just recap the gospel. It goes from the Garden of Eden, creation, the fall. Now here's our redemption. Here's Christ fulfilling that promise in Genesis 3 that he is here to take the sins of the world.
Yeah. And no matter where you go back from Jesus, you're going to find that gospel message. You're going to find the unfailing, progressive revelation of God that Jesus was not an afterthought. It wasn't as if, you know, God was in heaven, you know, twisting his hands together, thinking, what am I going to do with these messed up people? No, the plan was in place from day one, and we see the unfolding of that plan. And the interesting thing, too, and we're going to have to wind up here in a second, but is how many of these names do you recognize, and can you even pronounce?
That's the challenge for me.
And it looks insignificant, but you know what you find? You find God was at work in every one of these generations, working in the lives of every one of these people, some little known, some unknown, some that you wouldn't recognize them if they passed you in the street, and yet no less important, in that the plan of God. And that might be you, my friend, today. You know, you might be in a position where you're thinking, you know, I'm a nobody. And what is my purpose? sometimes your purpose in this life is not even seen until generations later. Sometimes because we like to see everything come to completion in a one-hour Hallmark movie. It doesn't work that way. You know, sometimes God uses lifetimes and generations to do one thing that you'll find out about much, much later. And what we find in the genealogy of Jesus is that our God is powerful, our God has a plan, and that plan culminates ultimately in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so I appreciate you joining us today, my friends. Looking forward to jumping into a new chapter tomorrow, and I hope you have a great day today. God bless you.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.